Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ivor, are you having a fun time so far?
Yes, I'm having an excellent time.
You are.
Have you done many podcasts?
I've done a few. I always enjoy them.
Which is your favourite so far?
Oh,
not this one.
No, this one. It's been a roller coaster. It's certainly had a lot more risky moments than some of the other tame.
We like to call it comedy.
Yeah. Gosh, pushing the envelope from our incredibly safe position.
But Ivo, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the ones that you do which are more structured, or the ones that have no structure?
Or ones like this with no structure whatsoever?
No, I think there has been an attempt at structure. Jamie has tried to keep moving things along in a very narratively sort of chronological way. You and I have had exactly the same life, so that sort of evened itself out quite nicely. We had that little quiz. So there's been a structure to it.
So what was your dad doing in Japan, actually?
He was working in the financial sector.
So was my dad, yeah. Yes. A bank.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We are still joined with Ivo Graham. Hey, Ivo.
Hello, Jamie.
Do you know you guys have something else in common?
What? Oh.
So you're both very tall.
Ah.
And you have small penises.
Yes. In my case, I
have no idea what you're talking about.
But except you're quite short.
Well, I don't understand. Is that a joke or is that?
Yeah, it's. I wanted to prompt Ivo to talk about his speech at the Oxford Union.
I wondered if that was.
Oh, this is okay. I had no idea where you're going with this. Okay, interesting. Okay, what happened at the Oxford Union?
I had to give a talk at. The Oxford Union, there's a comedy debate every year where they get people, usually from the world of comedy, either who are at the uni or used to go to come and talk about like a silly theme. And so I did it, and the theme was size doesn't matter. And I think I was arguing that size didn't matter. And I started my speech in the historic building of the Oxford Union by saying, "My name's Ivor Graham and I'm a tall man with a small penis."
Yeah.
And it felt electric to say.
From there on, you're like, I've got him.
I was rock hard, not that anyone could tell. And it was very, very exciting. I can't really remember what else I said.
Do you get given your topic before you arrive?
You do get given your topic, because I did another one at Cambridge about a year later with your old partner in Chelsea, Ollie Locke.
Uh-huh. So this is funny, right? So I did one at...
We say that every single time we start the podcast. So this is something funny.
So Ollie Locke once asked me, he said, oh, this was age ago, he said, Cambridge Union would like you to come and do this debate, right? And I was like, oh, okay. So they gave me a call, blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, yes, Ollie told you about it. And I was like, yeah, that's a debate. And they said, I can't remember what the motion was. Like, it wasn't an obviously comedy debate. And right. I was like, okay, well, they just want me to go do a debate. Right. So I turn up with this kind of really serious debate. And it's like, and I started and I was like, this is not going to end well.
quite dry.
Yeah, this is all a bit dry. So eventually, because I just like rambled.
Ollie
on
Locke just laughing in the corner, knowing what he had done. He had fooled you.
Yeah. Then I was like, I rambled on for a bit, and then sat down, and I was like, oh my god, I wish I'd known it was comedy. But then I actually did another comedy one, which actually was funny because I knew it was a comedy one.
But it's interesting though, right? Because you said you started comedy at Oxford, but you must have been interested in it before because you must have gone like. There must have been a point where you went, I'm kind of funny, I can kind of do this. Or what was it? Or did you just find things funny?
The
and
funny
you
funny Australian kid.
Yeah. Oh, New South Wales.
I was in the state joking team. Back at Eton, gagging for the seas. I watched a lot of comedy. It was such a way to be popular at school, was being funny.
But, so it was about popularity.
Well, but the die was cast quite early at school for who was popular or not. I felt like there was a structure and a hierarchy that it was difficult to move too much up and down in. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get it, but that's probably because of your and I could be completely wrong, but that's probably because of you being self-aware and self-conscious. So therefore, you didn't feel like you can push your way to the top if you really want to. But the fact that you felt self-conscious
maybe.
Meant you didn't go to the top.
And felt like it maybe might look a bit desperate.
Exactly.
Particularly given that I didn't have any of the old Summerfield gang had moved on. That you know, maybe a couple of them could have thrown a rope ladder down, but I didn't. But you'd see other people being funny in class, and you go, and you'd think of like, I could do that,
yeah.
but I couldn't do it here because even if I said it, they wouldn't laugh because the
dynamics
again,
wrong.
It's all wrong.
Yeah, but Ivor, so funny you say that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I spoke
because that's why you still feel that way.
Well, no, I spoke to a guy actually who's a comedian who you may know, and I can't remember his name.
Great stuff.
Yeah, but you'll know who he is because right. I can't remember him. He's one of your gang,
right?
But he went out with Dolly Alderton for a while.
Yes, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, he's a really, really nice guy, and I sat with him on a bus and we did Drunk History together. And he said, it's so interesting about comedians, because a lot of comedians aren't necessarily the ones who are outspoken and loud in the class being funny, but the ones that will sit in the class and go, oh, I could say that and make it funnier. And that's
you plan it in your head.
And you plan it in your head, which is really interesting way to think of comedy.
Well, it means that you're not really living in the moment, but you feel like you're just prepping. You're just quietly prepping for an opportunity that may never come to like unleash all of these
and
things.
And then you eventually get so sick and tired of the opportunity not coming that you book a stage.
Yeah, exactly. So that people don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But I remember there was such a... I remember watching... this is such a vivid memory and quite a self-serving one because I've now had the good fortune to be on the show. But I remember watching Mock the Week in our student common room at Eton. And, like, not that I was doing this on the regs, but at one point I thought of a funny quip and then...
and wrote in saying, you should have said this.
Dear Mr. O'Brien, while you're doing an absolutely adequate job as it stands, I, a boy with no friends at Eton, would love to nominate myself to suggest a couple of extra quips. Because my brain is active.
I can't quite find the right moment to do it, but I feel like this is the moment.
Hypothetically, I'm the funniest guy in my school. I have no evidence to prove it, but in my head, I'm smashing it every single day. Right, send a dear Mr. Fry. I thought of it, and then Andy Parsons or someone said it, and everyone in the common room laughed. And I thought, I literally thought a version of that same joke. It's like one day, but you think, I'll just wait. And then going to uni, it was all new people. And I had, there were some very supportive friends from outside of school over my holidays, maybe when you were sort of 16, 17.
Yeah.
I was like, we were a funnier gang. I was like, I can do it a bit.
Because you could hold the table in a sense with these people. You could hold you could hold that position though, right?
Exactly.
But it's interesting though, because especially, and this is, I have, there are lots of positives about going to a privately educated sort of situation.
Privately educated school.
Situation.
God, I really fucked myself today.
That's disgusting.
but it is, it's true. And there's lots of positive minds going to a private school. But a lot of the negatives are that it does to and this is not just not private school, but this is, you know, it's particularly in private schools, you're all living together, but it still happens in schools, that the people with a lot of potential sometimes don't rise to the surface because it's not cool to be that person. What was cool at school is if you're tall and good looking, loud, sporty, those kind of things make you
cool. That was your type.
That was my type, yeah. But it does, but so people like yourself who are incredibly talented and have that don't really rise to the surface, but therefore have to find the confidence somewhere else in order to follow what they actually know they can do, which is,
I guess,
tricky.
At university, then you can kind of reinvent yourself.
It was the reinvention. It was I'll get another chance.
You know, I'm going to be the popular funny guy.
Yeah, but also, Ivan, you have to, you have to remember that we were in very fortunate situations where, and I don't have to remind you, but we do know this, they're in fortunate situations where you were able to go to university, you were able to do those things, but some people have to go and work in the local supermarket in order to work, help the family, and then can't do those things, so we're never actually going to fulfill what they potentially have within them.
Yes.
Which is unfair.
Or it's more a bigger risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just hard because I don't
want to. Fuck him.
I'm glad you said it, Jim, because I was on the verge. If you want to do comedy, don't go to a supermarket because you just won't be able to fulfill your potential from there. I think I don't want to keep like sort of stressing this, but
no, it's interesting.
I do
though, it's really
think
interesting.
You get, I don't want to be like, oh, I had a tough time at school, and so I didn't get to sort of explore my potential. Because I think the thing
because you're
school
really milking it
is, I does feel like I'm milking it a little
no,
bit,
not.
Jamie. I think what people say about schools, particularly like Eton, is they're very good at instilling confidence in their boys. It doesn't necessarily mean that will come out as like popularity and confidence at the time. But I still think that even though there was a bit of a delay between me thinking that I could do it and actually doing it later on, I still think that without so many of the things that the school gave me, even though I might have felt a bit like sort of trapped and invisible at the time, I wouldn't have had the confidence to do it. Because it gives you, you know, you've trained in public, you do public speaking at school, you know, you've given like lots of things that I use in my comedy, like, you know, you a good education, a good vocabulary, you get that sense of, and for better and worse, entitlement that people associate with, you know, public school boys. So I think it was a reaction against not really feeling like I was the king of the castle at school, but I think I still feel like I was, you know, that Eton contributed to it in a good way as well.
Do you feel that because you went to Eton and you're a comedian, you kind of have to address that? Or is there a point in your career where you'll feel like, well, I don't need to talk about that anymore because now it's, you know, now...
Are you saying you're ashamed of...
No, as in, because in a lot of your act, you do talk about it. It's like something you address, you know, almost immediately I've seen a few of your things, but I assume it's a sort of regular thing that you do.
Yeah, I guess so. And it has been for a while now. And I think I'm getting to the point where I've done it now. And I need to get some new stuff.
No, I'm not saying that.
No.
I wasn't saying, hey, it's a bit tropey. I think.
Watched a few of your clips. Basically just one clip over and over. I think you feel like it's interesting, and there's like it's a thing that's unique to you, and that it's a good challenge to try and talk about it. For the first few years, I didn't talk about it. I talked about going to an all boys boarding school, but I didn't drop the E bomb, as people say. No one says that, but as
Francis drops in every weekend, if you know what I mean.
Oh, very nice. Well, we live in a city with a vibrant nightlife, so you'd be a fool not to. And I'd like to come, please.
Hey everyone, we're going to come back with Private Parts in just one second, just after this.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whew, there we go. Now, let's get back into it. But what's... Okay, you've got to university. You've gained this kind of new... Not a new company, but you've gained this kind of new persona because you can be anything you want at university. When was that moment where you were like, right, I'm actually going to go and try and do this thing that I've been saying to the television and thinking in my head so long? When am I going to do all the thoughts in my head? When am I going to go and do this? Actually...
Dara still not replied. I've had enough.
Because surely you must have thought, you probably didn't, you must have thought, oh, I can go and write for somebody else. That's what you must have thought. Why don't you go and write?
I guess so. Well, I mean, I'd have liked to do that. And that's a big part of my job now is sure. I'll write for other people sometimes.
But you wanted the glory.
Yeah, I think
the
so.
The feedback.
Well, and also there wasn't really like... I suppose there are ways in which when you start out, you can imagine writing for other people. Like there was a sketch thing at Oxford called the Oxford Review. Mm. I think that was my first thing, was I tried to write sketches for that. But you still thought, I'll probably be one of the people performing them.
But also, if you've got a good joke, it's like if it's a good joke, you want to be the one to share it with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Francis, you're bang on.
Why would you give the glory to
and
someone
also,
else?
And also, I don't know if this is the elephant in the room, but you've started doing stand-up, is that right?
Well, I've done a few open mics.
Would you like to keep... Would you
have
like to
you?
Keep
well,
your
where
hat?
Have I been when you're doing this? I haven't watched these.
Well, just a few. How did you know that?
Because you did one at Always Be Comedy, at the Comedy Club in Kennington, which is a great club.
You did this recently?
Recently, no.
When did you do it?
The other day.
Really? Well, that's... You didn't tell me the congrats. Why are you telling me this stuff?
Well, I haven't really told anyone.
This.
Yeah, this is insane. But was it good? How did it go down?
Some of it went down all right.
Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, well,
what are you doing,
Jamie? I'm just taking a video of us while we're just casually talking. Just relax. I want to hear about this. Don't worry.
You don't want to hear about it. You want to put it in an Instagram
story.
Yeah,
I'm going to. Ivy, just continue talking. So what you did... So was it nerve-wracking? Was it okay?
What are you doing?
I'm just taking an Instagram because we're here.
All right, hello.
Hello.
Hello, good.
Was it okay? Was it nerve-wracking?
It's my biggest secret.
Well,
Ivy,
Francis, I didn't...
Why is that your biggest secret?
Well, no, I'm new to it.
But I'm embarrassed because I respect how much you would want, because I didn't tell anyone that I was doing it for the first few times, because you want to sort of hone it in private and then invite your friends to like dig five or six.
Now you've thrown me under the bus.
No, but I also... But do you know what? And I'm going to give this to Francis. Francis is... he is incredibly funny, and he does have that, because I think you definitely have... You know, for example, like myself, I can be funny, right? But there's a different way to be doing that, having stand-up funny and just being naturally funny. And I don't think I could probably grasp the sense of stand-up if I tried it. But I'm super...
I'm sure you could.
No, I probably could. But I'm but I'm super... But honestly, France, so I think this is charitable. I'm super proud of you, buddy. This is insane. So you shouldn't be ashamed of it.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Well, you shouldn't hide it. I'm really excited for you.
I wasn't hiding it. I just...
Okay, you should have told me.
I feel... terrible.
No, it's
because,
good.
As I say, it is a sensitive thing.
But why is it a sensitive thing? Because
it's very vulnerable, particularly first gigs, and it's so different. Even though
I've done five gigs now.
Oh well, it's time to tell him then.
Yeah.
It's time to get...
Where the hell have I been? Who watched you on them?
Oh, random members of...
Yeah, you don't.
Well, when's the next
whoever's
one?
Whoever's at the pub.
But when's the next one?
I don't know.
Well, can I come to it?
Yeah, you
well, let's organise a party. Let's go and do it. Hell,
that's my worst nightmare.
Okay, can I just quickly ask before you go back to your... What do you walk in and open up with? Can I just get that? That's all I want.
You can come along and watch.
Oh, no, just say...
It's my worst nightmare doing this in a non-comedy context.
Really?
Francis, you have every right to tell Jamie.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind doing that, just walking in and saying what I would be doing.
All right, go on, do your opener.
My opener would be... I would walk on and I would say, hello, everyone. I'm Jamie Lang from Made in Chelsea. How are you? And... they would then laugh because it's me from Main Chelsea, and I'd say, I'm trying stand-up comedy. And then they would laugh again. And I'd go, so I hope you enjoy this. and I would probably do something like that at the beginning. That would be my open. I would introduce myself.
I think you should try it.
It's very charming, but there's not a sledgehammer punchline in there yet.
But I'm easing my way into it. I'm just getting to know the crowd, and then next time I come back, I'll know a bit more.
That's what they say at all the manuals. Hey, do not ruin it with a joke within the first 3 to 4 minutes.
Well, I tell you what. Hey, to all of our listeners, go and watch out for France, wherever it is. I know you don't want to tell us, but we'll watch out.
But also, that's the fun. You don't know. Just go and support your local comedy club, and he might pop up.
I might pop
completely.
Up.
Yeah. But Ivor, going back to you, so when was that moment that you suddenly were like, okay, I'm going to go and do this?
It was in my first term at uni, because there was just a club where new people could try it, and I'd gone to it, and I'd watched a professional comedian, Josie Long, who's great, and she was being supported by a student called Tom, and he was just some 20-year-old, but he had this very funny 10-minute set all about being a student. I was like, oh, there's someone like me who's doing it, and he was really confident, and it went down really well. And so I just signed up for the next one, and it wasn't good the first time, but it was good enough to go right, okay, something to work with.
So you got murmurs.
I got murmurs. I got heart murmurs.
Yeah. So you wrote 5 minutes to, and then
five minutes, and I think was all you were given, and then. But what's nice is it's a very supportive community. You're always on with a few different people, so people will offer advice if you ask for it, and sometimes even if you don't. But they might invite, if they run a gig, they might say, oh, well, you should come and do my gig. And very quickly I set up my own gig at Oxford, so then I would invite other comics to come and do that. And it's just very supportive.
Yeah, it is very supportive.
And it's fun. I mean, you guys have so many comics on the podcast.
Yeah.
And you ask so many questions about it. It's like... It is an interesting world,
but it's one of the only worlds that I think that I've come across in recent times. Apart from, I think, sort of the entrepreneurial world where people are very happy to help one another in business and things like that. But every other world that I've experienced, I'm sure there are loads.
Which other ones have you experienced?
Like the porn world, just everything.
But every
they're very supportive in that
world. Cutthroat.
Yeah. But
type of porn.
But every world is pretty competitive. Doesn't matter if it's the social media world. Or that kind of influence world, or the sporting world, or whatever it is, they're pretty competitive. But the comedy world is incredibly supportive, to the point where even if they're promoting a tour, they will promote their friends' tours.
Well, because everyone's on their own journey, right? Mm-hmm. I suppose they're...
Yeah, but at the same time, you're still fighting for the same thing. You're still fighting for the same kind of goal and the same audiences, I suppose. You're not going to pick your audiences. You'll find, and you know, if one person is touring and selling tickets, perhaps that means your tickets won't sell as well as the other people and things like that, because they're not going to buy two tickets in a month to the same sort of place.
That's exactly it. And you are aware of that. There are ways in which it's quite competitive, and there are ways. I mean, it's just about not letting yourself get into those sorts of thought patterns, really, I think, because it is possible to. Everyone is going for largely spots on the same sorts of TV shows, and you know, you can measure, you know, who's the headliner and who's the opener on the bill, or who's sold more tickets than the other. Like, there are factors, but I just think most people just get on with it, keep a fairly sort of open mind, and get on with each other. But you guys did your first tour this year.
We did.
And that must have introduced you to a little bit of what it's like to stress about every gig in turn.
Exactly. And I think definitely the sort of process of refining your material, tour was where I got that, you know, that experience of saying, oh, I can actually make it better and do it differently at the next one.
How did you do it? Was it a Q&A?
What
was it? Was it an actual show?
It was a live show. Yeah. It was like a sketch show, really. I guess sort of as a sitcom. And we had our bits where we read our diaries.
And as Franz said, we definitely mastered it at the end. And I say the same thing, but I had to learn to not act myself. I was very much acting myself at the beginning, and Francis learned his things. But what was so amazing about it is that it was like playing a piano. You know the or when you, if you sing to a crowd, you know the moments where they're all going to start dancing.
No, you play the piano.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like a musical. I could literally stand backstage and listen to the moat, and I could go 1, 2, 3, and then I could click my fingers, and at that point they would laugh because I knew the notes that were being played within the show, which was a really interesting way to kind of see it.
Especially if you're doing something, because ours was scripted, right? So we kind of definitely internalized the script, and then towards the end we got better at kind of playing around with it, because we could go off track and find our way back to the actual track, right? So then recently, obviously, me doing these open mics, I you know, obviously it's all new material, but it's kind of that momentum that I've sort of wanted to just keep it up.
And you sort of do the same five over and like that. Yeah. When people say, what should you do when you start out? It's really tempting to go, be as creative, you know, write constantly. But actually, it really is about honing the 5 minute or the 10 minute set.
It's and just so making it tighter. Francis, on that note, you know, you've done some stand-up and things like that. Why don't we have your diary today? Rather than my diary, because I don't think we'll...
Have you not done your diary?
I've done my diary, but maybe I'll save it for another time. I don't feel like we can do two diaries. We've had too much of either and too much of... perhaps...
Sorry. what a thing to say to a guest.
Sorry, I forgot you were here.
Ivo's banged on a bit. I actually was thinking, I thought, maybe I've steered the conversation away from myself. I brought up Francis thing. I
you have.
Jamie sat there and like, Ivo keeps chatting. But how do we keep Ivo down?
But Ivo, you're a very generous guest.
Ivo won't be invited back.
Ivo and Jamie, talking to myself.
Now I feel all like under pressure to be funny because...
No, there's no pressure.
Welcome to the stage, Mr. Francis Poole, everybody, Mr. Francis Poole.
Funny, this is a stage.
here we go, Francis, let's have your diary.
All right. Propped up against the stage. Tuesday.
Are we in Kennington?
Monday, sorry.
Great, this is great.
Call me old-fashioned, but I became a bit startled when I realised this woman that looked a lot like Caroline Lucas was breastfeeding her child in the seat behind me on the train today. It wasn't the breastfeeding in public that disturbed me, it was the fact that the child was conversing with her in fully formed sentences.
What?
Yeah.
That's so intense.
And the Caroline Lucas comparison, of the Green Party,
yeah,
of course.
She looked a lot like Caroline Lucas.
Right.
Breastfeeding a four-year-old.
Breastfeeding like a child that could speak.
If you could imagine such a thing.
Were you sure
a talking child?
Was you sure it was
when is the appropriate point, cut-off point for this activity? Surely at the point at which the child can tell their friends is a sensible start.
Yeah, what did you do today?
You know my mum, the one that looks like Caroline Lucas?
Yeah.
Nuzzled her on the train again. There's that guy from Made in Chelsea, was on the seat next to us.
I know, I'm an accessory.
Come on,
Tuesday.
Then. That's all Monday. Good, busy Monday.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't want to be judgmental, but I'm not sure I would have anything in common with someone who could look at a Boohoo Man billboard and think, shit, you know what? I'm going to buy that.
What's a Boohoo Man?
It's a clothing line. It's like a clothing line that all the influencers promote. It's so true.
So you're sticking it to your fellow.
We're never going to get sponsored by them.
I don't want to be. I don't.
Good luck promoting The Economist for the rest of your life. Tearing up that Boohoo check.
I guess these are the same people who walk around in those skinny, torn jeans and cuttlefish shoes on their feet.
Oh no, there goes another couple.
Those very long
Crocs
t-shirts.
Or that, sandals?
No, those like Yeezy things.
Oh yeah.
Oh Christ.
And those very long t-shirts that look like dresses. They probably also think Grimesy is a talented musician.
We're really going in today.
Also, this is pure speculation, but something tells me the Boohoo girls wouldn't associate themselves with the Boohoo men in real life. As much as the Boohoo men might like to, of course.
The Boohooo men. Not to be confused with the Baha men who sung Who Let the Dogs Out.
Wednesday. Isn't it annoying when you go into one of those...
Such a judgmental...
He's having a really tricky week this week, hating everything.
I'm feeling a bit down this week.
Wednesday.
Isn't it annoying when you go into one of those trendy London members clubs south of the river?
And they're all wearing boohoos.
And breastfeeding their seven-year-olds.
And, you know, you're washing your hands... you're washing your hands in the loo.
Oh, you're washing it in the loo?
Yeah, in the restroom.
Cut out the middleman.
And they just don't feel like they're getting any cleaner. And then you realise that you've been using the lemongrass hydrating hand and body balm instead of the wash soap.
Yeah, it's true. I know the feeling.
Has this ever happened north of the river or just in the one side?
Well, it
of
happened
the river?
Just now in the loo, actually.
Right, I see. Oh, yeah, it's Wednesday today.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's Thursday.
Oh, shit.
Okay, go, Francis.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's all from me.
That was funny. I enjoyed that. Livid I enjoyed week. That.
That's all from me.
Hey, Ivo, listen, man. Did you enjoy the podcast today?
Yes, I did, actually. I really did. I felt like... Of course, there were some lows. But I thought it was... It was great, guys.
I felt like we drifted through your life quite nicely.
Well, it's very...
As did he.
It's very... Yeah, I think... I need to sound like my dad again. no real plan or structure. I think that it's quite gratifying to be asked about your life, mm-hmm. undeniably. And you've done a bit of research. We talked about my penis size, which I was very keen to get to. Mm-hmm. We've talked about our shared past. I'd love to actually bring the Summerfields magazine
at some point.
And have a little bit of a...
Well, you've got to come back.
Yeah,
but then
you
it's
actually
hard
do.
Because, you know, we at the very mention of Borva, Francis snapped like the jealous husband he is. And so we could possibly talk about that. So maybe not too much school nostalgia.
I'm just going to put out that this has been one of my favourite podcasts.
Mine too.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Hey, Ivo, listen, what can we expect coming up from you? Are you touring?
I'm doing a tour. I'm doing a tour next year. Maybe I'm going to some of the same venues that you guys went to.
And what's the tour called?
It's the name of my last Edinburgh show, which is called Motion Sickness, which is all about my life plans.
And where can we get tickets from?
They're all over the internet, Jamie.
Okay.
From your website?
I've got a website.
Plug away!
I know, but I always
plug,
think...
Don't, people, just plug it.
People can work it out. If they want to come, they'll find a way.
I'll tell you what.
I'd love people to sign up to my mailing list because I'm very proud of that, actually.
Well, that's a bridge too far, actually.
Come on, Francis.
We can't promote your mailing list.
He gives with one hand, he takes away with the other.
And how do we sign up to your mailing list?
It's a pinned tweet on my Twitter. Okay,
Ivo.
How's your GDPR?
It's like fucking Cludo. Just say it. This is your chance. Ivo Graham on Twitter. Ivo Graham on Instagram.
Ivo Graham on Instagram. IvoGraham.com for my website.
So, what can we look forward to on your mailing list?
About once a month. I write, which is not too much, I write about upcoming comedy events, but I sprinkle in just a little bit of life stuff as well. If I've seen a politician's lookalike breastfeeding on a train, that's in. If I've washed my hands with lemongrass south of the river, that's in. It's basically a Boole knockoff. Can I tell you something very quickly? In my last flat that I lived in, we had a copy of Boole's Jewels.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
I love that.
A lot of people keep it in their loo.
It's a great Lou Reed. If you're reading it anywhere else,
do you know what? And you know what? The pass-on rate for a book like that, because lots of people use other people's loos.
Yeah, got another great bit of analysis. Yeah.
But Ivor, also, I'm glad life does this. This is the meaning of life. It's a cyclical. We've joined together after many years of being apart. We've had a fallow time, but now we are together.
That's lovely, Jamie. He's used all of his new words.
I love it. Hey, Ivo, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our audience with something inspirational.
Listen up, fans of Private Parts. If someone like me, who Lest We Forget in 2003 was on the verge of Australasian state greatness, can have all of my potential snatched away by another insensitive career move by my indecisive financier of a father, return me a term late in the bleak midwinter to Eton College, where I would be mocked for the very accent which I was told in Australia wasn't Australian enough, returned to the Seas football team, and largely isolated from the social bucket that was school life. If I can survive this, write emails every week to Dara O'Brien, Stephen Fry, Sandy Toksvig, many of the other titans of the UK comedy scene, receive no reply, and still dare to dream of becoming a stand-up comedian, and just 5 years later become one at Oxford University, then you too, with the same level of financial backing and private education, might achieve something similar. All the very best.
Ivo, congrats, thanks, buddy. Yes. We'll see you next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.